Let's take our Bibles this morning, and if you would, open to the book of Joshua, chapter number 14. Joshua, chapter 14. Of course, we do want to wish everyone a happy Father's Day, and we have a special gift for all the men after the service, and make sure after the service is over, they'll be on a table in the foyer there. And, you know, we always try to think, you know, what do we get for guys, you know, for Father's Day and things. And it just seems like, you know, guys just like to eat, right? We enjoy eating. But we also like to, you know, we like to grill, you know, we like to do stuff like that. And so we have a special barbecue grill seasoning back there for you guys. So make sure after the service, make sure you stop by the table there and pick one up on your way out for Father's Day. You know, when you think about dads, there's kind of one thing that's always, I don't know if we should say the word unique, but dads just, you know, we have a good sense of humor. You know, dads are just unique in that way, you know, just a sense of humor. Sometimes other people may not get it, but dads do, you know, dads do. And I found some things I thought were very humorous for dads that people said about their dad and these dad things. You know, my dad said he wanted something groundbreaking for Father's Day, so I got him a shovel. Did you hear about the father who cut off his left leg? He's all right now. My father doesn't like trees. He thinks they're shady. Some of these you'll get about halfway through the service, right? I got my dad a book about glue once. He couldn't put it down. I saw a guy at the bank checking his balance, so I pushed him over. When is a door not a door? When it's ajar. Oh, come on, that was good. That was a good one. Man. Why can't you borrow money from elves? They're always a little short. I was putting these and my son was standing behind me reading them. He's like, Dad, these are stupid. It's like, well, you're not a dad yet. That's why. Once you become a dad, these will be cool, right? What do you call a dad who falls through the ice? A popsicle. I have no idea what that has to do with Joshua chapter 14, but I mean, how can you have Father's Day without, you know, some dad jokes, you know? It's just not possible. Joshua chapter 14, we'll begin reading in verse number 6. Joshua chapter 14, let's begin reading in verse number 6. It says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as if it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet am I as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. I'd like to know what his diet was, because If he's saying at 85, he's just as strong as he was when he was 80 or 40, man, I'm telling you, that's pretty good. He says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Father, I do pray that you would just bless in the service this morning and the message. We just thank you for each person who is here, those joining us via live stream. Lord, we ask that you would speak to hearts. Lord, help us to be attentive to what you would have for us this morning. And Lord, we would apply what you have for us. And Father, I pray you just bless our day today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a phrase that continually repeats itself in these verses that we just read. In fact, in these verses, it's three different times. In verse number 8, Caleb says, "I wholly followed the Lord." In verse number 9, he says, "Thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." In verse number 14, it says, "He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." By the way, this is not the only place where it mentions Caleb. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully." In Numbers 23, 12, it says, "Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 36, "Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." I don't know if you could put an epitaph on Caleb's grave, but I think if you could, the Bible's already told us what it would be. He wholly followed the Lord. Over and over and over and over and over again, the one thing that is said about Caleb is that he wholly followed the Lord. W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly, completely followed the Lord. I wonder, as fathers today, if our children would be able to say that of us. My dad wholly, completely followed the Lord in all that he did. What a testimony that Caleb had. He wholly followed the Lord. Not just Moses saying this, not just Joshua saying this, but God saying this about Caleb, that he wholly followed the Lord. And why was it said of Caleb that he wholly followed the Lord? Well, obviously, I think we find there's something a little bit different about Caleb than everybody else. And this morning, I think if we can look at Caleb's life, I think we can find the reason why Caleb wholly followed the Lord is because Caleb was fearless. He was a fearless father. And this morning, if I could encourage men today, and obviously I understand that the Bible is applicable to everyone, and so this is not just for men today, but specifically, since this is Father's Day, I want to speak to fathers, men, young men. But ladies, can I say this can apply to you as well? I wonder how many children could say of their mothers, "She wholly followed the Lord." So this is not just regarding Caleb, but no, this is something that every one of us can apply. And I think these things that we're going to look at can apply to every one of our lives. But specifically this morning, I'm talking to fathers, to dads, to grandfathers, talking to men this morning, young men, to be a fearless father. Some of you are fathers, some of you are grandfathers, some of you might be great-grandfathers. Some of you young men, one day you're going to be a father. It's important that you learn to apply these things now in your life so that when God blesses and you are able to become a father, you can be a fearless father like Caleb, be a man who wholly followed the Lord. So what does it take to be a fearless father? What does it take to be like Caleb, a man who wholly followed the Lord? Well, I noticed several things about Caleb's life. To be fearless obviously means you are not afraid, right? I don't think that Caleb was completely unafraid of everything. I'm sure, no doubt, as he saw the armies and things like that, there may have been some trepidation and things, but he did not allow his fear to control him. And so he was unafraid. And I think we see some areas here that Caleb was unafraid in, not just against enemies, but number one, he was not afraid to follow. He was not afraid to follow. And when I speak of following, I'm not talking about Caleb following Moses or Caleb following Joshua. The one that I'm speaking about that Caleb was not afraid to follow was the Lord. Caleb was not afraid to follow God. Now, no doubt, obviously, Caleb followed Moses and he followed Joshua as the leaders of Israel, but Caleb was unafraid to follow the Lord. I don't know why, as men, we're made to lead in things, but many times we have this idea that we don't need to follow. But can I tell you, men, if we're going to be men that honor God and that please God with our lives, we have to learn to follow God. We have to learn to be men that are going to follow God and what God wants for our life to be able to be the leaders that God wants us to be. Caleb was not afraid to follow, and you need to know who it is you're following. Caleb knew who he was following. He wasn't following the path of least resistance. He wasn't following just what the flow did. He wasn't following men. He was following the Lord. He was following the Lord. Notice some things here that we find about him. Caleb believed the promises of God. Notice back with me in the book of Numbers. Go back with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13. We'll kind of be going back and forth from Numbers to Joshua. So you can kind of hold your place there in both spots. But in Numbers chapter 13, notice in verse number 30, it says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Now, if you understand what's happening here, Moses, as they have left Egypt, God has delivered them from the Egyptians. They've come to Mount Sinai, and now God is leading them up to the Jordan River to cross into the Promised Land. And they come to the Jordan River, and they send spies into the land to spy out the land. There are 12 spies that are sent out, and when the spies come back, they talk about how wonderful the land is. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, and the grapes of Eshcol and all of this that they talk about. But they said there's a big problem. The problem is the enemies that are there. And there's giants in the land, and these cities are strong and all of this. And these 10 spies began to dissuade the hearts of the people about going in. They said, you know, maybe it's better that we would have just stayed in Egypt, or maybe it's better if we died in the wilderness, because it is impossible for us to be able to go into the Promised Land and to defeat these enemies. And so they began to talk. But the Bible says that Caleb said, hey, wait a second. He stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now, think with me about what Caleb is saying. Caleb says, hey, guys, don't listen to these 10 other guys. I want you to just right now, we gotta leave right now and go in and possess the land, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, let me ask you a question. How many guys in Israel at this point, and we believe there's probably close to 2 million Israelites at this time, after they had left Egypt, there's about 2 million Israelites. How many of these men had fought in the army? None of them. They'd been slaves. How many of them had any type of military experience, maybe other than Moses, who was brought up in Pharaoh's household and was taught maybe some of these things? How many of these other guys had any type of military experience? None of them. So what in the world is Caleb talking about? And no doubt, I'm sure that some of the people are thinking, Caleb, what are you talking about? What do you mean we are well able to overcome it? We have no military experience. We probably don't have many weapons. Right? I'm sure they didn't have a lot of weapons there. And you're saying, Caleb, you think that we can just go in and possess this land? What are you talking about? But wait a minute. Caleb wasn't talking about their physical strength when he said we are well able to overcome it. Caleb believed the promises of God. Caleb, as a man that wholly followed God, he said, wait a minute, this is what God promised us. God said he would be with us. Guys, did we forget what God just did to the greatest army in the world? And we didn't have to pick up a sword at all. We didn't have to pick up a spear. We didn't have to shoot one arrow. And the greatest army in the world was destroyed. Guys, we didn't do anything. God did it. And he said, can I tell you something, guys? We are well able to overcome these enemies. Not because of who we are, but because of who our God is. And he said, I believe what God said is true. And guys, can I tell you, can I encourage you this morning, when you get into the Word of God and you study the Word of God, can I encourage you, believe what God says. Don't just say, well, that was for Caleb, that was for Joshua, that was for Moses, that was for David, that was for Elijah, that was for Paul, that was for Peter. No, guys, we serve the same God today that they served. And if we're going to be men that wholly follow God, if we're going to be men who are fearless, we cannot be afraid to follow our Lord. We cannot be afraid to say, God, I don't know what's ahead of me. God, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know what your word says. And so, God, I'm just going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. He believed the promises of God. When everyone else didn't, Caleb did. Everybody else that was there, of those 12, it was only Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua were the only two that said, hey, let's do this, guys, we can do it. All the other 10 said no. And by the way, all those other 10 convinced the rest of the nation not to do it. And so here is Caleb standing up and Joshua standing up there saying, hey, it doesn't matter who else is with us. We believe that God said we can do it, so let's go. Will you stand when everybody else walks away? Will you follow God and trust God enough that when everybody else walks away and everybody says, hey, it can't be done and we need to stop this, will you say, hey, wait a minute, I know what God says and I'm going to believe God, I'm going to trust God, and I'm just going to follow him. He was not afraid to follow. He believed the promises of God. But not only did he believe the promises of God, I find this very interesting that he was disturbed by disbelief and rebellion. It disturbed him that the rest of the people did not believe God. In chapter 14, notice in verse number 6, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. When they started hearing what people are saying, hey, we can't believe God, we can't trust God, hey, it would be better for us to die in Egypt, hey, it'd be better for us to die in the wilderness, It disturbed them. The Bible says that they rent their clothes, they tore their clothes. And if you jump down to verse number 9, it says, and this is what they say, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Man, it didn't matter that other people were turning away. It bothered them, and they rent their clothes, and they said, hey, guys, don't rebel against God. Don't turn away from God. He's going to be able to deliver them into our hands. Will you stand with us and trust him? Will you stand and follow him and just believe what God says? I'm wondering as men if it even bothers us the way that our world is heading. Oh, we don't like it. I mean, we look at what's going on and we could say, you know, I don't maybe like the leadership and I don't like some of the laws and I don't like some things, But does it really disturb us that our country is rebelling against God? Does it disturb us that even many times churches and Christians are rebelling against God? It did Caleb. It did Joshua. When they saw that the people were starting to turn away and disbelieve God, it disturbed them in so much that they were willing to rent their clothes and stand up and say, hey guys, don't do this. Don't rebel against God. They didn't just go with the flow. They didn't just go along with it. No, they stopped. They said, hey guys, don't do this. That we have to be willing to follow God. This is why it says over and over and over, they wholly followed the Lord. I like what it says in Numbers chapter 14 here. In verse number 24, God speaking, he says, but my servant, because he had another spirit with him. You know what his spirit was? His spirit was belief. His spirit was trust. The other people, they had a spirit of disbelief. They had a spirit of distrust. We can't trust God. We can't believe God. We can't follow God. Caleb said, no, I can. I can believe God. I can trust God. I can follow him. I'm not afraid to stand alone when everybody else is. And that's why over and over and over it says, Caleb, wholly follow the Lord. Caleb, wholly follow the Lord. Caleb, wholly follow the Lord. Why? Because he wasn't afraid to follow. He wasn't afraid to believe God and to take God for what he said. Friend, when have we just looked at what God said as men and as fathers and as leaders of our home and said, hey, we're just going to believe the Bible. We're going to believe what God says. I know the world may say something different, and maybe even our family might say something different, and maybe even our community might say something different, but let me tell you something. I believe the Word of God, and I'm not going to be afraid to follow God no matter what the rest of the world does. See, he was not afraid to follow. But may I say, secondly, he was not afraid to lead. May I say this morning, you cannot lead right until you follow right. You know, you think, well, what we lead, no. You have to follow before you can lead. Again, we're looking at the life of Caleb. Caleb followed the Lord, which led him to be a good leader. If we're not willing to follow God, it's going to be very hard to lead our families and our homes and our church and our community the way that God wants us to. But Caleb was not afraid to follow, nor was he afraid to lead. Look back in Numbers chapter 13. Look back in Numbers chapter 13. Notice in verse number 2. God speaking to Moses, he says, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, everyone a ruler among them." So notice, here is God telling Moses, I want you to send someone who is a leader, right? And watch down, go down to verse number 6. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Notice, Caleb was a leader. And he was a good leader because he was a good follower. He followed the Lord. And he was able to lead his tribe here. He was of the tribe of Jephunneh, and he's leading. He's the ruler of his tribe, and he says, all right, you're going to go. You're going to be one of those 10 spies. Think about it. Because he was a good ruler, because he was trustworthy, he said, hey, you're going to be one of those we're going to send in and spy out the land. I sometimes think we just miss things because maybe we've heard the story so often, or maybe we just jump over it, but of 2 million people, 12 got to see the promised land. And those 12 all saw the same thing. They all saw the same thing. They saw it was a land flowing with milk and honey. They saw the grapes of Eshcol. They all saw the same thing. But only two of them chose to believe God. Now, no doubt, these other 10 men, as long with Joshua, they were leaders of their tribes as well. But the problem was, notice how they led their tribes. They led their tribes against God. They led their tribes against God. Only Joshua and Caleb were the only two that were trying to lead in following God. They were trying to lead their tribes to follow God. Fathers, do you understand that you have a responsibility to lead your tribe? You have a responsibility to lead your family. You have a responsibility to lead your community to follow God. It's not the mom's responsibility to lead in following God. I'm very thankful for godly mothers and godly ladies, but can I say it's not their responsibility. God says he has given that to the men. He says, guys, it is your responsibility to lead your home, but the only way you're going to be able to lead your home right is if you're following God. And Joshua and Caleb were trying to lead their tribe. They were trying to lead their family in a way that honored God and pleased God. Look in verse number 7 of Numbers chapter 14. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for their bread for us, their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us, fear them not. So what are they doing? They're trying to lead them into following God. Can I say, the only way you can lead your family to follow God is if you're following God yourself. You cannot lead them to follow God if you don't know what God says. That you cannot lead them to follow God if you're not in the Word of God. Dads, it's so important. Fathers, it's so important that we spend time in the Word of God, that we know what God says, and we are following God so that we can be the leader of our family that God wants us to be and lead them to follow God. Caleb was not afraid to follow. He was not afraid to lead his family. It's interesting, research has shown that most young people develop a worldview by the age of 13. Their worldview is established by the age of 13. 13. You wonder why the devil is after children? Understand why he's after young children? He's after teenagers. There's no doubt about that. But he wants them before they're teenagers. I mean, we're seeing things taking place in our schools and things like this and in first grade and kindergarten and second grade that we would have thought that shouldn't even be even in college. Why? Because the devil knows if he can get them when they're young, he's got the rest of their lives. And dads, it is our responsibility as fathers and the leaders of our home to lead our family to follow God, to help our children understand a biblical worldview, to give them biblical principles because, hey, they are going to be living in a world that is against God. They're going to have a job and they're going to work with people that are no doubt against God. And if we don't help them to establish a biblical worldview at this time when they're young and in our home, hey, by the time they get out, what's their life going to be like? Caleb said, hey, I don't care how many is against me. I want everybody to know that I'm going to follow God and I'm encouraging my family. If you remember in Joshua chapter 24, at the end of Joshua's life, he says this famous verse that many people put on their house, right? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you know where that begins? With the dad. With the father. I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but some homes need to take it off their wall. Because you're not leading. You're not following God. You're letting everything and everybody else teach your family and lead your family. That's not what God says. He said, if you want to be a fearless father, you have to follow the Lord. You have to lead your family. Don't be afraid to lead them. I know we're living in a society that, man, I'm telling you, it's just mixed up. I mean, up is down and down is up and right is left and left is right. I mean, it's crazy. Don't be a parent based on how you were parented. Be a parent based on what God says in His Word. I've seen many people say, well, I'm just doing this because that's how I was raised. Hey, it doesn't matter how you were raised. What does God say? What does God say about it? If it wasn't right that way, then don't do it in your life. You get in the Word of God, you find out what God says, and you do exactly what God wants you to do. You say, well, I'm not sure if I know. I don't think I see a lot of people doing it. Doesn't matter who's doing it, you do it. You be that fearless father that says, hey, I'm not afraid to follow God, and I'm not afraid to lead my family. Look, parents, you are the disciple makers of the home. Your responsibility is to help to train your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Grandparents, you're a disciple maker as well. So many times I think grandparents just think that the reason why God gave them grandkids is just to spoil them and have fun and play games and all this kind of stuff. And no doubt there's a point to that, right? But grandparents, do you understand how important you are in the disciple-making process of your grandchildren? You are vital in that. That's why when you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and it talks about, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and unto thy children's children. You know what your children's children are? It's your grandparents, your grandkids. Why is it that we think as grandparents we are relinquished of our responsibility of discipling our grandchildren? Well, they're not my kids, they're my grandkids. Yeah, they're your grandkids. Disciple them. They're your grandkids. Teach them the Word of God. Well, that's not my job, that's the parents' job. Yeah, it is the parents' job, and it's your job. That's what God said. Your children and your children's children. You teach them to love God. Hey, where are the grandparents are going to stand up and say, hey, maybe even my kids aren't following God, but I'm going to be a grandparent that does. Maybe my children aren't leading their home right, but I'm going to be a grandparent that does. Grandparents, you have a great responsibility. Don't think it's just all about fun and games. Look, you can have fun and things like that, but there ought to be something in the grandparents that are helping to teach and to lead their children as well. Fathers, we have been given a responsibility. We cannot be afraid to lead our families, our wives, our children to follow God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to follow the Lord. Don't be afraid to lead. But may I say, thirdly, Caleb was not afraid to follow. He was not afraid to lead. But Caleb was not afraid to face giants. He was not afraid of giants. Again, here in chapter 14, verse number 12, notice what it says. Well, go back up to verse number 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. That's encouraging, isn't it? Caleb says, well, I'm going to follow God. And everybody else says, let's stone him. What are you going to do then? You still going to follow God? Or you'd be like, oh, now, wait a second, hold on. I didn't know this was going to cost me my life. That's what it's saying. The congregation wanted to stone him, right? And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? That's a good question, isn't it? God says, how long is it going to take? What's it going to take for you to believe me? Look at all that I've done for you. What's it going to take for you to believe me? Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you know for sure that you're saved? You know for sure that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know you have peace with God so that if you died at any moment, you'd be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope you do. If you don't, friend, we would love to take the Word of God and show you how you can have that peace with God, how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven. Man, but man, if you're saved this morning, you've seen God save you, you've seen God give you a home in heaven, you've seen God bless your life, and God is saying, what do I have to do for you to believe me? What do I have to do for you to trust me? I mean, I have saved you from your sin, and I have blessed you and with your job and your finances and your car and your house and all these different things. What am I going to have to do for you to trust me? That's what he's saying. Did you not see all the signs? The ten plagues in Egypt, do you not remember those things? Do you not remember walking through the Red Sea? Do you not remember what happened at Mount Sinai? Do you not remember all these things that I've done? Caleb said, I remember. I remember, Lord, I'll trust you. I remember, Lord, I'll follow you. He said, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And so God is talking about, hey, he's like, hey, I'm about done with this, right? So look, go back with me to Joshua now. Go back with me to Joshua, Joshua chapter 14. So here they are. This is now 40 years later because the children of Israel listened to the 10 spies. They did not go into the promised land. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they're coming to the Jordan again. They're getting ready to, they've crossed into the Jordan. God has been doing victories. And now Caleb comes to Joshua in verse number 12. And he says, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, and then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. He said, Caleb comes to Joshua and he says, Joshua, remember what Moses said? He said, this is the land that I'm going to get. Now, it's really interesting what Caleb reminds Joshua of. This is the land that God promised me, and I know who's there. Who? Caleb, who's there? The Anakims. Remember when they came back and the 10 spies said, hey, the Anakims are there. And what did they say? We are as grasshoppers in their sight. He said, the giants are there and the Anakims are there and we're nothing in their sight. I mean, we're just little grasshoppers. And Caleb comes now 40 years later and says to Joshua, hey, remember Joshua, God said I could have this land. It wasn't an easy land. There were giants. The Anakims were there. Caleb knew they were there. They were still there. 40 years later, they're still there. And Caleb says, I know they're there, but you give it to me. You give me that land, I'll go face them. You give me that land, I'll go face these giants that everybody else was so afraid of. Hey, 40 years ago, I said God could deliver us. Caleb said, I still believe God can do it. He's still going to be able to do it. And he says, you give it to me, I'll go. Look in chapter 15. In chapter 15, in verse number 13, and unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part of the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. So not only are the Anakims there, but he gave them the granddaddy city of all. This is where the father of the Anakims were. The father of Anak is here. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshaiah and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir was called Kirjath-Sepher. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it to him, I will give Asha my daughter to wife. He said, hey, I'm not afraid of these giants. I'm not afraid of these things. I'm following God. I'm leading my family, and I know when I follow God and I lead my family, there are going to be giants that I'm going to have to face. There are going to be problems that I'm going to have to face, but I'm not afraid of those things because I know who I'm following. I know who I'm leading, and I know who has the power to take care of them. Caleb said, I know who's going to take care of him. The Anakims were the ones, the other 10 spies said were so big that Israel was like grasshoppers. They're so afraid of them. We can't go in. And can I tell you, Dad, can I tell you, there's going to be things that are going to come in your life. There are going to be giants that are going to come. There's going to be times where it's going to be easier to follow everybody else than to follow God. There's going to be issues that are going to come up in your life, maybe in your family, maybe with your kids, or maybe with family members, or maybe at the workplace, or maybe, and it's going to be a whole lot easier just to say, you know what, man, it just seems like following God, it just seems like there's some giants there, and I just don't know if we can face them. Hey, it's going to be easier to just go the other way. But Caleb said, I know what was promised me, and I know there are giants there, and I know the Anakims are there, and I want it. I want it. I'm not afraid to face the giants. I'm not afraid to face the problems that are going to come in life because I know who I'm following. I'm following God. And I know what His Word says. I know His Word says that if I follow Him and I trust Him, hey, He's going to take care of it. He said, the Lord is well able. The Lord is able to do this. Look at what it says at the end of verse number 12. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. What's he going back to? This is what God said. God promised this. He said, this is mine. God said he'd be with me. God said he'd drive them out for me. I'm going to go. We're afraid many times to face the giants. We're afraid many times to face maybe giants in our own family. You know, hey, maybe there's some issues and things coming up. We're like, hey, I don't know. Should we follow the Bible or should we just do what the family wants? Hey, are you going to follow the Word of God? Are you going to lead your family to follow God? Or are you going to lead your family just to follow the latest trend? Are you going to lead your family to trust God and say, hey, this is what God says, and we may not understand exactly what's going on, but we're just going to trust Him? The song that the young ladies sang, think about some of the words that song said. There's times when the way is clear and we understand, but you know what? There's many times when the way is not clear. And there's many times when there's things that are going on, we're like, God, I don't understand. And He says, what? You just trust me? Will you just trust me? I know what's best. I know what's going on. Man, dads, we have such a great responsibility. And our families and our communities need us to be fathers that are fearless, that are not afraid of the giants, not afraid of the giants in our family, not afraid of the giants in our community. Look, can I tell you, and we've gone through this, we've talked about this, the world is not getting better. It's not going to get better. Doesn't matter who's in office, doesn't matter, it's not going to get better. The world is going to continually get worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's going to get faster and faster and faster. So who's going to take a stand? Who's going to face those giants? Who's going to take a stand and say, hey, I know what God says. And because of what God says, hey, I'm not afraid to face these giants. I'm not afraid to face what the problems and things that are coming on. Now, again, I understand there's a right way and a wrong way to face certain issues and things. And don't get me wrong. But where are the fathers? Where are the fathers who are going to take a stand? Where are the fathers who are going to be fearless and say, hey, I'm not going to be afraid to follow God. I'm not going to be afraid to open His Word and teach this to my children and say, hey, guys, this is what God says. And so because God says this, this is what we're going to do. You say, well, what if they don't like it? Who's in charge? Can Can I tell you, I can remember many times when my dad sat me down and he said, hey, this is what we're going to do as a family. And I can remember many times in my heart, I didn't like it. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. But I also knew what he was teaching was what God said. Does your family know that what you're trying to do is lead them to follow God? It's one thing to just say, hey, we need to read our Bibles. Why? It's one thing to say, hey, we need to be in church. Why? It's one thing to say, hey, we need to invite people to church. Why? Why are we doing these things? It's got to come from the Word of God. It can't just be, well, that's because we're supposed to do as Christians. Look, if that's what you're doing it for the wrong reason. That's not the right reason to do it. What does the Word of God say? What does the Bible say about these things? You're following God so that you can lead your family to follow God. So that when those giants come, when those obstacles come in your life, and I have no idea what they're going to be. I don't know what they're going to be in my life. I don't know what they're going to be in your life. But I know there's going to be giants that are there. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be walled cities that we're going to have to break down. There's going to be difficulties along the way. But I know this, that if we're following God and we're leading our families, we don't have to be afraid of the giants. We don't have to be afraid. We can trust God through it. He's going to walk with us through these things, and he's going to be able to help us and get victory in our life so that we can defeat and overcome the giants. You understand, it wasn't just one giant that Caleb defeated. He defeated multiple giants. He defeated multiple enemies. And he's 85. 85. He said, hey, I'm not afraid. I know what God has done in 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because these other idiots that wouldn't listen to God. Hey, I know God's promises are still true. I know what God said, and I know 40 years later, God said, this is mine, and I'm going to take it. And I know there's giants there. I know there's walled cities there. I know the enemy's there. But I know what God said. We're just going to trust God. We're going to believe God. You see, Caleb was a fearless father. And because he was fearless, because he was not afraid to follow the Lord, he was not afraid to lead his family. He was not afraid of giants. Over and over and over and over. The Bible tells us of Caleb, he wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. What would God say about your life? Dads, fathers, are we afraid to follow? Are we afraid to lead? And may I say, ladies, if you're trying to take the leadership in your home, you need to stop. You need to stop. It's not your job. You say, well, my husband isn't. Let him. Well, he doesn't know how. Let him follow God. Let him follow God and let him lead the way God wants him to lead. That's his job. Men, we can't just say, well, my wife is the leader, I just follow her. No, that's not her responsibility. It's yours. Now, thank God for wives. Thank God for godly wives. I'm telling you, there's no decision that I make that I don't ever talk to my wife about and get her opinion and counsel. But look, the buck stops here. She's not responsible for it. I am. Guys, it's not your wife. You have to look to, well, it's her fault. No. If you're not leading, it's your fault. If you're not willing to follow God, it's not her fault, it's your fault. If you're not willing to be a fearless father, there's nobody to blame. Well, it's the way I was raised. I had that childhood, and that's how I was raised. Don't worry about that. You follow what God says. You follow the Word of God. Don't be afraid to follow. Don't be afraid to lead your family to follow God. Don't be afraid of giants. Caleb wholly followed God. And we look at the blessings that God gave to Caleb. Over and over and over, God has one thing to say about him. He wholly followed God. He wholly followed the Lord. He He wasn't like everybody else. Why? Because he wholly followed me. He was a fearless father. Will you be a fearless father? Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, how important it is in our society today. We need fathers, we need dads to be fearless. Lord, not to be afraid to follow you. Not to be afraid to lead their homes in a biblical Christian way. Not to be afraid to face giants that come. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, especially dads. Lord, I know this message can be for ladies need to wholly follow you, and young people need to wholly follow you, and these teenage boys and teenage young ladies, they need to wholly follow you. And Lord, they can. They can, even right now at a young age, they can wholly follow you if they'll yield themselves to you. God, we need fathers. We need grandfathers who are going to say, God, I want to be a fearless father. At the end of my life, if nothing else can be said about it, I want it to be said that I wholly followed you. So God, I pray you'd help us. Lord, help us to have some fearless fathers. Lord, to set the example for these young men that are coming up, that they can be a fearless father one day. Lord, give us some fearless ladies that were willing to follow you and follow the leading of their husbands, so that these young ladies have an example to follow. Father, I pray you'd work in our hearts this morning, as only you can. I wonder, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking about, I wonder this morning, maybe there's somebody here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I died where I'd go. I don't know if I have peace with God. You say, I would sure like to know how I could have my sins forgiven, how I could have that peace with God, to know that when I die, I'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm just not sure if I'm saved. No one else is looking about. I would like to pray with you this morning. Would you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I have that peace with God, but I'd like to know that. Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. I'd like to pray for you this morning. And Christian, dad specifically, would you commit today to say, Lord, I want to be a fearless father. I may not always do it right, and we won't, but Lord, I want to be a man that's not afraid to follow you. I want to be a father that's not afraid to lead his family, a husband not afraid to lead my family, not afraid to face giants. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly. The piano's just going to begin playing softly. Maybe there's some fathers this morning.